Good morning. My name is Josh Hernandez Morris, and I am the head of school at Pacific Buddhist Academy. Very pleased to be offering this message for the White Way broadcast, and I hope you find some value in what I have to say. I want to be talking about Pacific Buddhist Academy and some of the programs that we've built over time and some of the ideas that lie at the foundations of what we are attempting to accomplish at the school. My notion of what we have built at Pacific Buddhist Academy, an educational sangha, is guided by the notion from the founder of Jodo Shinshu Buddhism, Shinran Shonen, of Ondobo Ondogyo, that we are pilgrims or companions together in the seeking after something greater than ourselves. PBA is premised in a set of ontological understandings that govern our lived experience, namely impermanence, or the notion that the only constant in life is change. Interdependence, the notion that all beings depend on one another for our existence. And karma, which is not, as popularly thought, akin to the wheel of justice that eventually distributes equal measures of punishment for the volume of our sins, but translates from the Sanskrit as action, and signifies the notion that in each moment, in the action of our thoughts and words and deeds, we craft a way of seeing the world that consequently affects our following choices of thoughts, words, and deeds. So that the promise of karma, the great gift of it, the uplifting sense of it, is that we are empowered to change the direction of our actions. What we can't know with a certainty is what the effect of our actions are, but we do have strong clues from the Dhammapada. All that we are is the result of what we have thought. It is founded on our thoughts. It is made up of our thoughts. If a man speaks or acts with an evil thought, pain follows him, as the wheel follows the foot of the ox that draws the carriage. All that we are is the result of what we have thought. It is founded on our thoughts. It is made up of our thoughts. If a man speaks or acts with a pure thought, happiness follows him, like a shadow that never leaves him. So we communicate with students regularly about their thoughts, words, and actions. We speak regularly about the notion of interdependence. Not as an ideal to strive toward, we look at interdependence again as an ontological fact. I often say to people, families are interdependent, but many families are dysfunctional. Rather, what we are interested in at PBA is the understanding and improving of the relations of our interdependence. The understanding of Sangha and operation at PBA is an understanding that community, that culture, is a made thing. Each of us participates in its making by way of our relationships. We are fellow travelers. But we see and learn that the conditions of our interdependence are not ideal. That is, life is difficult. Going to the second component of our school's mission, the practice of peace, founded in empathy and compassion, is fundamental to our academic practice. Because we are a Buddhist school, we believe that the pursuit of personal peace is a necessary first step. We cannot be successful peace practitioners if we are not practicing peace within. So, of course, mindfulness is a useful technology that is practiced here at the school. But we think that the secular outcomes, lauded by many, better focus, better test scores, better business, are merely side effects of mindfulness to the main event for us, which is to awaken students to the relations of our interdependence and thereafter to take steps to improve those relations. The emphasis on improving the relations of our interdependence comes from the fact that Jodo Shinshu Buddhism is of the Mahayana vehicle of Buddhism. So, of course, we know of the Four Noble Truths of Shakyamuni Buddha, or Siddhartha Gautama, his analysis of our situation here in life that is understood with the medical analogy. Number one, life is dukkha. Number two, that dukkha arises from craving. Number three, that there is a cure for dukkha, that we can achieve in nirvana. And number four, that the way to do that is through the Eightfold Path. But what about that? If the telos of Buddhism is nirvana, and the end of it is to achieve that and end our suffering, and Shakyamuni Buddha achieved enlightenment, what about the rest of us that are not enlightened? As we know, as Buddhism evolved and traveled throughout other parts of Asia, this problem about the rest of us left behind gave rise to the notion of the Bodhisattva, and from there, of the Bodhisattva ideal. The Bodhisattva being the being that has achieved complete awakening, but who defers entering enter nirvana until all beings are able to achieve enlightenment. At PBA, this philosophical inheritance of the Bodhisattva ideal has helped to shape our program. It's important that the PBA is a small school. A small school environment provides so many lessons about interdependence and our ability to affect the conditions therein. But the Bodhisattva imperative, this ideal example of a being or beings that dedicate their existence to alleviating suffering and helping others achieve awakening, is one held up at the school to motivate the direction of our academic program. It's great for us if PBA students are admitted to fine colleges and universities, but we don't feel we are meeting our mission unless our graduates direct their energies toward the ends of peace practice in their communities. A specific example of that is a program initiative that I helped launch here at the school some years ago, a program I call the Peace Bridge Project. Peace Bridge, in short, was a remodeling of the senior year experience that was designed to ask PBA seniors to engage in direct action projects in the local community, projects guided by the methodological practice of different disciplines. So, for example, anthropology or sociology projects, environmental science projects, or outside of the sciences, arts-based projects, projects that responded to problems of peace in the community. And the idea of community was scalable. I will give you an example from years ago that comes from the Occupy Wall Street movement you may remember that came on the heels of the financial crisis. Occupy Wall Street became a national movement. There was a chapter here in Honolulu, if you remember. They gathered not far from PBA, across the street from the Honolulu Museum of Art, in a city park space called Thomas Square. The dialogue in the news media focused on what the city was going to do about all of these squatters that were camping overnight with their tents on the sidewalk, holding up signs about the 99% of us. When would they move out? At the time, it was the second year of the Peace Bridge Project, and I was its director. The PBA seniors and I were reading Plato's Republic, Sudhir Venkatesh's The Underground Economy of the Urban Poor, and we were looking at studies that had been produced locally by the Office of Hawaiian Affairs that demonstrated the disparate treatment of Native Hawaiians in the justice system of our state. We were focused on the question, what is justice? The central problem, of course, of the Republic. And because I was eager to get out of the classroom with the students, and because the design of Peace Bridge was explicitly that it was responsive to emergent concerns, I asked the students what they thought they knew about the protest movement down in Thomas Square. The students were pretty certain the protesters were homeless people. I had gone down to Thomas Square to survey who was actually there, to find out who was in charge, if anybody, and to ask the folks protesting there if they minded if I brought a group of high school students over to do what I called some ethnographic work, to ask some questions so that we could understand what was happening. The day we went to Thomas Square just happened to be the day the city had announced it would enforce a no-sit, no-lie ban on city property they had passed to move the protesters out of Thomas Square. As the seniors and I pulled up in the Buddha bus, we noted the presence of all these news vans and cop cars. We got out of the bus. One of the local news personalities, Tim Sakahara, was sitting on the wall waiting for something to happen. I directed the students to get a move on it and to start interviewing protesters like we had rehearsed with the questionnaires we had pulled together. I am a high school student. We are trying to understand your protest movement. What are you protesting? What do you hope to achieve? Who's in charge here? How do you protest? What do you do? What is your profession? Etc. Tim Sakahara, the newscaster, asked, what were we doing there? Maybe we would do something newsworthy. But he and the police officers dug out not long after. The city decided to move homeless folks out of Ala Park over in Chinatown first, inconvenient for the news crews. They might miss some good footage. What the students and I found was very different from our presuppositions. A few of the protesters were homeless, but most were people from the local community concerned about the problem of economic inequality. There was a nurse, a social worker involved, a disabled veteran. They realized, locally, a problem inherent in the name of the movement. The Hawaiian Islands are an occupied space, so they renamed their local chapter De-Occupy Honolulu. So what we produced as a learning cohort at Peacebridge was a short ethnographic study about the De-Occupy Honolulu protesters as we experienced them. Some general characteristics about the protesters themselves, their beliefs and what they were protesting for, and their cultural practices, how they communicated, how they made decisions. Since we decided the destination for our study would be the mayor's office, we also produced an analysis of what we thought the city should do and what would be a just response to the movement. The students advocated dialogue rather than the punitive measures being deployed. The students noted the centrality of protest to the American experience. They did not take a position with respect to the demands of the movement, or that is, they were not able to agree on a single decision, but they felt the rights of the protesters were not being respected, and that it was not just to invent new laws to disappear a difficult community problem. So that was the idea of the project, and I think it well reflects the intent of the Peacebridge project. The mayor's office never got back to us, and we concluded the unit on justice, shifting our attention to the idea of beauty thereafter, but I was pleased with that portion of the year. The Peacebridge project arose from our observation here at PBA that the school had become too insular. And all of our attention to the idea of sangha and interdependence and the building of a community and school culture, we didn't realize we had become hermetically sealed until we noticed that a significant percentage of the senior class then was choosing colleges and universities here in Hawaii over mainland colleges and universities because they were scared to leave the islands. Mind you, PBA has no problem with graduates pursuing a college education here in the islands. We are attuned to the problem of the brain drain that is all too often an effect of our college preparatory programs. But we were not happy that the safety and insularity of our learning program at PBA had produced what we thought was a fearfulness, a reinforcement of the shelteredness that many of our students came to us with. And a corollary problem that we noted with the senior class is how difficult it was to keep them hemmed in. Senioritis or something like that, compounded with the fearfulness of the world beyond our walls. We weren't happy with this. So the design of the Peacebridge project was a response to our analysis here at PBA that A, we were complicit in the nurturing of this insularity from a larger community, and that B, our attempt to contain PBA seniors on the school campus failed to serve them. If senioritis is a malady, we reasoned, it is one born out of the institutional failure to recognize where high school seniors are at in their lives. How is a regular high school day relevant to someone who will leave the school not long from now? What do they actually need as they leave us? Maybe this chafing at our bits is a sign that we are part of the problem. Maybe we can give them a head start on the next chapters of their lives by designing educational experiences that give them opportunities to understand what life will be like as a college student, as an employee, as a citizen. What should those educational experiences look like? These are the sorts of questions we ask ourselves as educators at Pacific Buddhist Academy. And the hope is that we develop partnerships with community-based organizations and individuals so that we can give our students community-based learning opportunities that respond to issues that matter today. In this way, we hope to fulfill the mission of the school of providing opportunities for peace practice to our students. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you for the many ways that you support the school. Here's hoping your springs are filled with many, many blossoms. This is Josh Hernandez Morse again from Pacific Buddhist Academy for Mo'ili'ili Hongwanji Missions White Way Broadcast, signing off. Thank you.